The following is offered by Discerning Hearts, a 501c3 nonprofit Catholic apostolate dedicated to spiritual formation through the use of new media. To download this selection, or to browse hundreds of other programs, or to contribute to our mission with a charitable donation which is fully tax deductible, visit our website at discerninghearts.com.
For allowing me the long break. I went on vacation. I prepared for the series. I did some resting. I finished up a project. So I appreciate so much your patience with me. This is Sonia Corbett, your Bible study evangelista, and today is the day we're going to begin our series, Healing the Father Wound. And I have to tell you, I have been in near constant prayer for you and for me. And today, what we're going to do in the show is we're going to talk about God as Father in an impersonal way. We're going to look at what the Bible says. We're going to look at it in a sort of theological way, very impersonal. And then we're going to look at what Jesus says, and we're going to look at Father, God as Father, in a more personal way. And lastly, if we have time, we're going to talk about how to get from the impersonal to the personal, and the process that it takes to get there. Jesus actually is going to be our leader. He's going to show us through this entire series how to get into the bosom of the Father in a way that is comfortable. So that's the plan for the show. I know some of you get distracted if you don't have a plan. So there's your plan. That's what we're going to do. First impersonal, then personal. And if we have time, we're going to talk about that process. So without further ado, I'd like to begin with a couple of instances in the scriptures where the term Abba, Father, is used. There are only three in the New Testament. The first one is Jesus himself, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. That's in Mark 14:36. Now that is Jesus in the garden, and if you watched the movie The Passion, you know that that was one of the very first words out of Jesus' mouth when he's in prayer in the garden. The movie opens in the dark where Jesus is on his face in the dirt, and he's praying this prayer, Dear Lord, please don't make me do this. Now, we're going to look throughout the series at the sorrowful mysteries as a template for how Jesus leads us through the process of going from the impersonal Father to the personal Father. And this is the very first prayer of the sorrowful mysteries. So that's one instance. And then in the book of Romans, it says, For you have not received the spirit of slavery again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's in Romans 8:15. Now that will be the hallmark or the main scripture verse, the key verse for our entire series. For you have not received the spirit of bondage or the spirit of slavery again to fear. Now, I grew up with that fear. I could not relate to God as my Father because I was so afraid of him because of my father and my father wound, my earthly father, I mean. So this whole spirit of bondage again to fear, I get. That's the reason I wrote Fearless. So I get this whole bondage to fear, but it says here that we have not received the spirit of bondage to fear. So the spirit of fear in relation to God as Father is not from him, dear one. That's the point. That is the attack of the enemy on our personhood and our relationship to our Heavenly Father. He goes on to say, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we don't receive the spirit of fear from God. We receive the spirit by which we can cry, Abba, Father. Now, we're going to look at that term, Abba, in a little bit. Galatians 4, St. Paul says again, and because you are sons or daughters, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So again, we see the connection with these two terms, Abba and Father. We see that Jesus is the one who teaches us how to approach God as our Father. Now, these are the only verses in the scriptures that have those two words together, Abba, Father. And in the Old Testament, God was not understood to be Father really at all, not in the sense that Jesus showed him or revealed him to be, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But the two words were commonly linked by the early Christians. They used it a lot, Abba, Father, and they did it because Jesus prayed that prayer in Gethsemane. Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So the early Christians actually used that, and they capitalized Abba and Father. So it's a formal address, we'll say. And we can see that partly because of the capital letters. And when we think of Father, we're thinking of our parental figure. We think of our male parent. But in the scriptures, what it actually means is the one who originates something and the one who infuses others with that same spirit. So when Jesus said in John 8 that if we do murder in our hearts, or we lie, or are of the liar or of the murderer, then we belong to our father, the devil. And that's because the devil then is communicating his spirit to us in that way. And so he's showing through that term, father, lowercase, that father, as understood in the scriptures, is meant as the originator of something or someone. So we also know, and this is cool, that when speaking to Hebrew priests, who always part of what they did was taught the word of God, it was part of their duties to teach the word of God, and to members of the Sanhedrin and the priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, they used the term father. Now, more on that when we get back. This is Sonia Corbett, your Bible study and evangelista on Healing the Father Wound.
Sonia created the Love the Word Bible Study Method just for you, based on Mary's personal practice and formulated for your personality and temperament. Get your Love the Word meditations every Monday morning by signing up at BibleStudyEvangelista.com. Now, here's Sonia.
You're listening to the Bible Study Evangelista Show, Bible Study Spirits That Taste Like Cake.
Welcome back to Bible Study Evangelista. We're talking about healing the father wound. We left off talking about the term father in the scriptures. So before we just jump right in again, I want to spend a moment to shout out my latest friends of the show. And I'm going to just list you all for the last 3 weeks since I haven't been able to before. I didn't do a whole lot of recording, and I think I probably did thank three of you to begin with, but I'm going to shout you out again because I appreciate you so much. Tayana, Mary Jane, Sandy, Gloria, Mary Catherine, Mary, Lori, Bridget, Carlene, woohoo, Gina, Rowena, Tom, Gaylene, and Baina. I hope I'm saying Baina's name right. She's from Oman, so that's really cool. Thank you. Thank you all for loving and lifting me. You have no idea how much I appreciate you and how much I depend on you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Your bracelets are in the mail if you are a subscriber. And hopefully you're all added as premium content accessors. So the term father, we left off talking about that in the scriptures, the term father was meant to mean the one who originated something. So, obviously, our parent father was our physical originator. So, we came from him, right? But we also know that the Hebrew priests were called father, and that's kind of part of where we get the term father as well. And So when Jesus said, don't call any man father, he wasn't literally meaning, don't do that. He's meaning is that there is one Father, the Heavenly Father, through whom all of these fathers originate. That's all he was doing. He was emphasizing then that the Heavenly Father takes priority over all of the other fathers that we experience. So that term father then was used by the Jews when they're talking about their priests and the priesthood. God is Father then because everything originates from Him. He says, I am who am. I am. Everything that is comes from He who is. So I am because He is. Everything that is because He is. I talk about that quite a bit in the book Fearless. So He is the originator of everything and everybody, the whole universe, all humanity and history and creation, seahorses, daisies, whatever, Christians, angels, and Jesus even as Son. Now, He didn't create Jesus. Jesus is begotten, which is a whole different thing. But He is the Son. So as Father, then, God is acknowledged as the Creator and the Sustainer and the Protector. And Christians, we are accepted in Christ because Jesus is the Son. And the Son is beloved. And He is sent by the Father. So there are other terms or other meanings for the term Father. It can be used of a Christian who has a very deep knowledge of theology or the faith. It can be used of our priests. We call our priests Father. It was also used by Paul. He talked about spiritual fatherhood and that he himself was a father to his spiritual children, those that he was leading to salvation. So by referring to himself as their spiritual father, we can see two things. First of all, it's not bad to use the term father for our priests or those who are in a spiritual fatherhood over us, because Paul did it himself and he encouraged the other Christians to do so as well. But we can also see that it indicates St. Paul's priesthood. And so that's part of why he felt comfortable not only calling himself father, but encouraging the Christians to call him a spiritual father as well, because he engenders or he gives birth to spiritual children in the fatherly sense. Now, Abba, we saw in those three scriptures that it was combined with the word father, Abba, father. It was originally used of God, obviously, when praying. So it was a sort of formal term. And whenever we see it in the New Testament, it's always attached to the Greek. So you see them paired together. And from the very beginning, Hebrews used it as a sacred proper name. So the Greek speakers, who were the apostles and the New Testament Christians, they put it together with their own word, father. It's sort of in English, that's what it means, father. So Abba is the Aramaic equivalent of the Hebrew word father. And Jews and Christians used the two together because they were Greek-speaking Jews. So they put the two words together to sort of say both. They used, as I said, this title for revered teachers, those that they reverenced who taught them the word and who taught them the faith. So the priests and the rabbis, especially in the Babylonian period, they were often referred to as Rabbah or Rava. And then that was even shortened. So sometimes, like Abraham, he is called father. In modern days, the word abbot comes from that term, father. All right. So what's the difference then between father and Abba? Well, Abba is more personal, whereas father is, it references sort of a function or a relationship. Remember that father is the originator. But it also does imply a relationship, and the word Abba, though, implies this total trust, whereas father kind of speaks of a relationship, not it's a familiar one, but it's reserved for adults, all right? So used together then, Abba and father denote trust and love and a personal relationship, and you can see that in the three verses that we quoted. And the way that Jesus used it. And I'll elaborate that on that in a moment. But Abba then is not an actual translation. It's a transliteration. And that means that you take the original language and the original letters and you just take it and put it in English. So Abba is the actual Aramaic word, whereas father would be a translation of the Hebrew word for father. So to put the two together is really to use two different languages, okay? So there is no English word that can actually translate the word Abba. Father is how we translate it, but the two are put together in these scriptures, which is why I'm going into all this. But Abba refers mainly to the spiritual relationship with God. So Jesus probably, and we know he did actually, speak Aramaic with a Galilean dialect, and then also some Greek and also Hebrew. He read the scriptures in Hebrew. So they would have all been familiar with the uses of Abba and Father. And as I said, the early Christians used it too in imitation of Christ. Now, a lot of people like to say that Abba, because it denotes a close relationship, is translated as daddy. But it's not daddy in the way that a small boy might say daddy and run and jump in his daddy's arms, although there is a sense of an intimate relationship. But when we say daddy, we mean, if you're going to use that term, I'm not sure that we should necessarily do that. It might be irreverent, but I'm trying to just give you the sense of the word, though. We know what father is supposed to mean, but Abba, if we are going to try to use the word daddy, then we need to think of it as the comfort that you get by knowing that somebody big and strong is in control. So Abba, then, is sort of that comfort, not in familiarity. It's not a presumption, even though, as I have shared before, that my aunt said that she, when she prayed, she felt like she climbed up in God's lap. Now, I actually feel that way too now, but still not as a daddy kind of thing, not as a, I don't know, there's still some sort of very deep respect related to that. When I imagine myself doing that, I imagine his comforting arms around me. And there are times, actually, I imagine myself jumping up and down in his lap, kissing his face all over because I love him and I'm, you know, all that. And maybe that's too familiar. I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. I think God leads us into whatever relationship he wants us to have with him. So I don't want to get too specific on what this should or shouldn't mean. You know, it'll mean probably something different to each of us. But it is intimate. Abba, okay, so we'll just leave it with that. Abba is a designation of intimacy and relationship. But did Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane call Jesus or God daddy like a small boy? No, I don't think he did. It's probably better to say the word sir. That probably comes closer, because you can be on a relationship, a close relationship, even an intimate relationship basis with someone that you would call sir. And that's kind of, I don't know, sort of all of that maybe wrapped into one is sort of how I think of it. So the reason we're talking about this is twofold. One, those are the three instances in the scriptures that we see this intimate term that Jesus and the Bible use for God the Father. But what is so cool about it is Jesus actually came to reveal to us that God is a Father in this very intimate relationship sense. This was a whole new thing. Now, in the Old Testament, they saw God as almighty, they saw God as sovereign, they saw God as in control. But Father? I don't know. And that was actually part of why the Jews were so upset at Jesus, because he sort of had this seemingly familiar relationship with Almighty God, and they found that very offensive, okay? So we'll talk about that some more. We're going to get into the personal and the more intimate aspects of God the Father when we get back. This is Sonia Corbett, your Bible study evangelista.
You're listening to the Bible Study Evangelista Show, Bible Study Spirits That Taste Like Cake.
Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, which is a 501c3, fully tax-deductible nonprofit organization dedicated to evangelization and spiritual formation through the use of new media. Discerning Hearts creates engaging multimedia specializing in podcasts and radio broadcasts, faithful to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and its rich, authentic spiritual tradition. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, please consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. We charge nothing for any of the programs that are available on Discerning Hearts, and our outreach is literally to the world. Please tell a friend about Discerning Hearts and either download our free apps, which are available at iTunes and Google Play stores, or visit discerninghearts.com.
Sonia created the Love the Word Bible Study Method just for you, based on Mary's personal practice and formulated for your personality and temperament. Get your Love the Word meditations every Monday morning by signing up at BibleStudyEvangelista.com. Now, here's Sonia.
So it's very important that we get this fatherhood thing right with God. And that's why we're doing this series. Because if you don't have a good handle on God as your father in this intimate way, in this Abba way, you don't know him very well. And that's the whole reason Jesus came, was to make that relationship an intimate one that would save us, that would redeem us. And he came in part to save us into that relationship, into that awareness. So what we're doing then throughout this series, or trying to do, is we're trying to grow into the experience that Jesus had of God the Father as Abba. All right? And I want to just mention here the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. I'm going to read it to you. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him, or explained, or interpreted him. So this is what makes Jesus so unique, is that his relationship with God, his being present in God's bosom, is the essence. That relationship is the essence of what he came to do. He came to die and endure the passion, but he did that because he wanted to draw us into this relationship that he experiences and that he knows and that he wants to make possible for us to have, but then also to reveal to us how to have it. So Jesus is going to lead us into a fuller awareness of God as Abba. He is closer to us than breathing, than thinking, than choosing, or even consciousness itself. And I have come to a very deep awareness and knowledge of that in an experiential way. And I believe that if you haven't yet, you will too, if you continue this work with him that he is doing, this healing. That's really what we're here to do, dear one. And I haven't gotten into some of the more spiritual parts. I will do that. But I just want to show you, I wanted to start out kind of impersonal so that you wouldn't be scared to death, you know, like I'm going to throw you into God's lap. So, because I remember how terrifying that was. I mean, it was just very odd to me to even think of him in those terms. And when we have a very deep wound, I call it healing the father wound, because whether we have a mother or a father wound, or maybe our wound is from someone else entirely, it doesn't matter. It affects our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I'm going to show you why that's true in a moment. I'm going to read you something from the Catechism that also comes from the Scriptures. But we know that the Bible actually presents God to us in both male and female ways. And so the fact that our parental relationships, when we have divisions and hurts and wounds that come from those relationships with our mothers and our fathers. Our sense of God's love is messed up. I mean, it gets twisted up, and we don't even know how to relate to Him properly. We don't understand Him. We don't understand how much He loves us because we haven't experienced it. There's something in us that knows it's wrong and that rebels against that wrongness. We know instinctively that we have been mistreated in a way that is unjust and somehow just flat out wrong. But we're not quite sure if we can trust God and what He says. But dear one, I'm here to tell you, we can and we should. I love this verse out of Numbers chapter 23. I have said this to myself a lot, you know, as I have done my Love the Word practice, and I had got a sense of God's love for me, and I got it from the scriptures. You know, He would apply scriptures to me that talked about how much He loved me, especially Song of Solomon, which we may do after this, just to sort of immerse you in His love. But I remember reading some of that, and I just thought, I don't know, I think I'm just making this up. I don't think He's actually saying this to me at all, because it seemed very intimate, and it seemed very just different from anything that I would have anticipated or expected of Him. But He says in Numbers chapter 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said and will not do it? Or has He spoken and will He not make it good? Behold, I received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I love that. God is not a man that He should lie. So when you hear from God, and you will, if you practice Love the Word as the method of communing with Him and receiving that love, and sitting down to practice that is your act of goodwill that opens the door to that meeting. And some of you have talked about many of you have talked about what you're getting out of it and how much you appreciate that we did that and that we looked at how to love the Word, how to do that daily scripture time and get that relationship, that healing relationship started. Some of you are having difficulty though. And part of it is, first of all, some of it is just that you just have to be disciplined for a while. But then there are some of you, I believe, I would have to talk to you in more depth to actually know. But I suspect that some of you are having difficulty because you're actually at another stage of prayer and God is moving you into another stage and He's kicking out the sensory stuff. And so it feels like nothing's happening. But listen to me, dear one, do not give up. The main thing that I want you to get from today's show is that you will receive healing. God is not a liar. He cannot lie. It is against his nature. It is against His nature to lie. God is not the father of lies. Jesus said Satan is the father of lies. So God loves you and He has promised to heal you. You don't have to know how deep your wounds are. You don't have to know what they all are. You don't have to remember them. You don't have to do any of that. All you have to do is show up every day at your Love the Word exercise and God will take it from there. I promise you. Now I'm going to give you what I call her Dr. Candace. She is a friend of mine who is a therapist and she has helped me a lot to be able to explain the science behind what I try to share with you, and she is wonderful. Her name is Candace. She is out in San Diego. If you'll message me, if you're out in that direction and you want help from someone who is specifically Catholic Christian or just Christian nowadays, you know, she is wonderful. So, so wonderful. But she has sort of helped me with getting the technical parts right so that I don't present to you something that's not actually true. But one of the things that I like about something she said, I heard her doing a webinar, and one of the things she said was that she was talking about how she presents to her patients a treatment plan. And that struck me because I remember one of the things that bothered me a lot about trying to follow God through this whole prayer thing and healing with John of the Cross, was thinking, thank goodness I found John of the Cross because he gave me a treatment plan. I mean, I'm one of those people that I don't want this to go on forever and ever and ever. I want to know there's an end in sight. I want to know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. If I'm going to go through all this pain and I'm going to go through all this memory stuff and I'm going to work this hard at healing, then daggummit, I want to know there's going to be an end to it. And so I promise you there is, and we'll talk about what that is. But God gives us sort of a treatment plan through the way contemplation works. And that is why through Love the Word, I talked about contemplation some, so that you could sort of get a roadmap of where God takes us when he does this facilitating of all this healing. Sometimes you may not even remember some of the things that have happened, but they're buried so deep in your subconscious. Maybe you don't remember them. Maybe you remember some of them. But whatever they are, dear one, I promise you that your hurts are never forgotten by your soul. Your soul is like a mold. And those memories, whatever they are, and I don't want to get too dramatic on this because I know some of you are just probably going, good grief, do we have to talk about all this pain and go back to all that? Well, yes, we do. And I'm going to show you that Jesus shows us that through the Sorrowful Mysteries. But we do have to, because they're buried in there. The soul never forgets our woundedness. And it comes out in our behavior. Even if consciously we don't remember it, the soul remembers. So you have behaviors you can't explain. You have triggers that you can't identify, or maybe you do know what they are. If you've gone through Unleashed or Fearless or both, you probably have a good handle on what your predominant fault is, and we'll talk about that through the series in case you haven't. You probably know what your patterns are and maybe what your triggers are, and those are good things. So then what do we do? Well, one of the things I don't want you to get hung up on is what you have to do at all. You don't have to do anything but show up on a daily basis, and He will do the rest. That is how we approach Him as Abba Father. When we talk about getting personal, we don't have to have this ooey-gooey, happy feeling about being with God, especially to begin with, and that's probably very unrealistic. So if you think you're supposed to have that, then scratch that. That's not even realistic in some cases. We've been so deeply wounded, there is no way to have happy thoughts about God as a father or Mary as mother. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Oh my gosh, I have to take a break. So we will talk about that in a moment. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Bible Study Evangelista Show. Bible Study Spirits that taste like cake.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and move forward because I have a whole lot to cover and not a whole lot of time. So, Jesus gives us the template for how to be healed of these wounds. Okay? Now, the Catechism talks about how Christians are baptized in the name, the single name, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, not in their names, plural, because there's only one God, the Almighty Father, His only Son, and the Holy Spirit. They together are the Trinity. But Jesus came to reveal to us that God is a Trinity. This was a whole new concept. So He, as the Son, shows us that God is our Father, not just in this almighty way, this impersonal, hey, I created everything and then just walked off and left it to its own devices, but in this very intimate, very personal way in which God wants to get involved in our lives and help us heal. Now, this is how the mother wound figures in a preliminary way. By calling God Father, the language of faith, this is from the Catechism 239, indicates two main things: that God is the first origin of everything and transcendent authority, and that He is at the same time goodness and loving care for all of His children. God's parental tenderness can also be expressed by the image of motherhood, which emphasizes God's immanence, the intimacy between creator and creature. Oh, this almost makes me cry. The language of faith, therefore, draws on the human experience of parents, who are, in a way, the first representatives of God for man. But this experience also tells us that human parents are fallible and can disfigure, don't we know it, the face of fatherhood and motherhood. We ought therefore to recall that God transcends the human distinction between the sexes. He is neither man nor woman. He is God. He also transcends human fatherhood and motherhood, although he is their origin and their standard. No one is Father as God is Father. So the point then, in all that I've read so far through the scriptures and through the catechism on fatherhood and motherhood, is to indicate two things about Abba Father. Abba indicates the intimacy that God wants to have with his creation, with you. He wants to have that intimate relationship. He wants you to relate to him that way. And he knows that our woundedness disfigures the way we relate to him. And so he sends us his son to reveal the way to open ourselves to him just enough that he can get in and begin that healing. And it begins with love the word. And I want you to practice it. I'm going to give you an exercise specific to our show every single week. And I want you to practice it. It won't take but a few minutes. And I know that you have probably other disciplines and devotions that you do. But I hope you'll look at it, because it's going to help us go deeper in the scriptures and allow God to go deeper in us. So I want you to hang in there and not give up. I want you to promise me right now. I want you to say, I will not give up. Now, we're going to talk about some of the ways that the enemy will come against us to try to make us give up, and most of that will be through pop quizzes. But now you already know those are coming, so don't be surprised. Don't project, well, you will project your feelings on those other people. That's the point of them. But just realize that's what you're doing. So it's not their fault. Look beyond them to God, the Abba Father, working through that situation. All right, and I'm going to show you and share with you the overarching way that God has done that in my own life. We're going to look at Moses. We'll look at Abraham. We're going to look at the ways God forms and excavates those wounds, okay? Before we make our own, this first exclamation of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, we must humbly cleanse our hearts of certain false images drawn from this world. This is the Catechism, 2779. Humility makes us recognize that no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That's why we're here. You're here out of humility, dear one, because you recognize you have a wound. You recognize that that wound is disfiguring your relationship to God, and you're here to hear from God and his word how to get beyond it. That's humility. So just recognize the humility in the search. God is happy with that search. No matter how it feels or how your pop quizzes cause you to feel that you're being punished, you're not being punished. He is giving you chances to practice, and he gives us chance after chance after chance. He gives us lots and lots and lots of practice opportunities. That's what life is for here, is this process. So God is not mad at you. I want you to not listen to that lie. When you say to yourself, when you feel judgment or condemnation in prayer, that is never God. That is always the enemy. God is not judging you or condemning you ever. He understands we are children. And just like you try very hard to be a good parent to your children, God is the ultimate parent to us. So first of all, acknowledge that it is humility, and it is him, he himself, who has drawn you to this point in this study with me. So Jesus reveals then the Father to us. The purification of our hearts has to do with paternal or maternal images stemming from our personal and cultural history and influencing our relationship with God. God our Father transcends the categories of the created world. To impose our own ideas in this area on him would be to fabricate idols to adore or pull down. To pray to the Father is to enter into his mystery as he is and as the Son has revealed him to us. The expression God the Father had never been revealed to anyone. When Moses himself asked God who he was, he heard another name. The Father's name has been revealed to us in the Son, for the name Son implies the new name, Father. So Jesus shows us the Father, dear one. That was from Tertullian, from the Catechism. So you can see then that mother wounds are an important part of our relationship with God. So it's not just the father wound in the sense that we get the wounds from our fathers. They can come from our mothers, and often do. And sometimes they're even worse because they are so unnatural. Give me an amen, okay? So part of what Jesus does then, as he is revealing God as Father through his relationship to him as the Son, One of the things he told us in Luke 14:26 is that unless, I'm actually going to read it to you. Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he's talking about not in this literal hatred, although some of us may actually literally hate our mothers and fathers because of the things they've done to us. Let's not talk about whether or not we should or must or will or when we get to forgiveness. Okay, we'll do that later. But he's not talking about an emotion here. He's talking about detachment. So our parents and the cultures that we grew up in, as we just saw through the catechism, the times that we are living in, all of these things contribute to a distorted view of God as Father. And so when Jesus is talking here, he's talking about detaching from all of that. And that's part of what God does with us in prayer through contemplation, through love the Word. And so that's why we've looked at that first, because that's the tool he uses. Okay, all of the doctors of prayer talk about how God uses the scriptures to facilitate that healing. Okay, but then he also says in Matthew 10, Jesus does in Matthew 10:39, that he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And what he's saying is, throw yourself on his mercy. Acknowledge your weakness. I know that it's distasteful. I know that you're sick and tired of crying over it. I know you're sick and tired of being slayed by it. I know you're sick and tired of being depressed. I know you're sick and tired of being angry. I understand all of that emotion. And I'm asking you today to lay it at his feet and ask him, beg him for that healing. And commit, dear one, to your Love the Word exercises on a daily basis. If you don't know how to do it, get the journal and use the instruction page there and muddle through it, or go through the tutorials on my website and learn how to do it. But it's really very simple. If you just get the email and you follow along in that Love the Word exercise every week, I'll lead you through the whole thing. So don't get bogged down with all this stuff you have to do. Just show up to the gospel reading every day and do your show with me every week with your Love the Word exercise and let God move. And what I want you to commit to is this: doing your Love the Word exercises and do whatever he tells you. That is what is so important. We have to be humble enough to obey what he says. And if he tells us something too hard to do, just say, Lord, I can't do it yet, but I will if you'll help me. That is what I'm asking for. This is what I want you to commit to throughout this series with me. We're going to get healed, dear one. We're going to do it together. We are determined to allow God to excavate these wounds, as painful as they may be, because there is healing on the other side of it. And I am living proof. I am telling you, I have experienced it. I know it's true. And the whole scriptures and the saints and all of those things testify to it, and Jesus leads us through it. So hang in there, expect your pop quizzes, stay in touch on the community Facebook page so that we can lift one another up in prayer. Pray for me as I pray for you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Lord, I commit every soul and her or his journey in healing to you this very moment. I pray, Blessed Mother, that you would bind Satan and the enemy against each of us, that you would facilitate this healing, Lord, in us. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come in. We commit to spending the time with you on a daily basis to open ourselves up to your Spirit. We pray that you would give us the grace and the courage to say yes and to obey what you tell us to do. I pray that for each one of these that are within the sound of my voice, that you would protect them and build a hedge around them, their families, their marriages, their workplaces, their safety, their spirits, their souls. I commit them to you. You know how much I have prayed for them and how much I love them, and I lift them up. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, for an outpouring of your Spirit on your people in this healing. We love you, Abba Father. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, which is a 501c3 fully tax-deductible nonprofit organization dedicated to evangelization and spiritual formation through the use of new media. Discerning Hearts creates engaging multimedia specializing in podcasts and radio broadcasts, faithful to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and its rich, authentic spiritual tradition. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, please consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. We charge nothing for any of the programs that are available on Discerning Hearts, and our outreach is literally to the world. Please tell a friend about Discerning Hearts and either download our free apps, which are available at iTunes and Google Play stores, or visit discerninghearts.com.